Now, tomorrow marks 1 year since the general election, and on that day, more than 60 TDs were elected to Dáil Éireann for the first time. Among them are a number born just before or even after the millennium. So today we're reflecting on a year in politics, and we're asking, is politics now a young person's game? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Tara Duggan. Now, politics, as we discussed on a recent podcast, used to be seen as a lifelong job. You worked your constituency, you spent late nights at Leinster House, climbed the ranks, and with any luck and hard work, landed one of those coveted ministerial posts. But things are changing. A new cohort of TDs arrived last year. Many of them weren't forged in political dynasties or even parish traditions. They grew up through things like recession, marriage equality, repeal the eighth, climate marches, student activism, and yes, of course, the era of social media. Now they're in Leinster House, not as interns or researchers, but as lawmakers themselves. One of them is 25-year-old Owen Kenny, Labour Deputy for Cork North Central, and is now the youngest member of Dáil Éireann, and I believe the only TD born in this century. Another new voice in the chamber is Nisha O'Carroll, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, who has combined his first year in Parliament with his first time as a father as well. So while their friends are off travelling the world or having nights out in Coppers and maybe other places, these two are locked in Oireachtas committees, holding constituency clinics, etc. Nisha and Owen, thank you both for joining me on News Talk Daily today.
Thanks, Tara.
So take us back to last year and the general election. Obviously, people of my ilk, the journos and the political junkies, we love elections. It's like Christmas, essentially, for us. But how did you both find the experience? Owen, I'll come to you first.
A bit mad, I suppose. It was my first time, obviously, running in a general election. I was only ever ran in one election before that. I was elected to council in 2024 as well. So it was a bit of a whirlwind year. My predecessor, Sean Sherlock, had just retired. My main hometown and my main base of Mallow moved to a new constituency, Cork North Central. First time ever we were a canvas city, areas of the constituency. And obviously the election day itself then was mad altogether. I beat McBarry by 35 votes. There was a recount. It was surreal, really, and something that I definitely didn't expect. I don't think the Labour Party expected it. I didn't expect it. Family didn't expect it. But I think the best thing about canvas, or the best thing about general elections or local elections, is the canvassing. I really like it. Love going door to door, love meeting people. You could get an absolute roasting or you could get full support. So I like that. But the actual day itself, a couple of days around it, was so surreal. Stress up to high though, of course, excitement. And then after slight nervousness, of course, You're heading into kind of a big bad world as such, or that's what people are telling you. But just a bit mental, mad, but obviously a year on now.
For your experience of 12 months ago?
Yeah, it was extremely intense. So I'm now 36, but I was first elected to the council in Kildare when I was 24. And I was re-elected in 2019 and then again last summer in 2024. So I had two elections last year, and running from one local election like Owen into the general election. And for me, the general election was just a completely different ballgame because in the local elections previously, my own hometown in Maynooth, I knew most people, I'd knocked their doors on dozens of occasions, and I knew the issues inside and out. Mm. Whereas moving into other towns and other areas where I did have a connection, but not as a strong a connection as I had in Maynooth, definitely opened my eyes up to, I suppose, the challenges that other people are experiencing and the similarities of challenges that we're experiencing, not only in Kildare North, but across the country as well. So it was extremely intense. I enjoyed it. Mm. And just the camaraderie with the team, with my family, and going out canvassing. My favourite part of politics is meeting people and learning their stories. And what I find as politicians is we're trying to find solutions. We're problem solvers. And that could be from a pothole that we get slagged about to a national infrastructural project. And, you know, hearing people's perspective and things really grounds you. And I find that so important.
And how has your first year been? Is it what you expected? I mean, obviously you had experience of local government. Is this what you expected it to be like?
So I was working in tech beforehand as well as being a county councillor. So I was telling Owen earlier, I was working about 60 hours a week in tech and about 20 to 30 hours a week in the council. So I was, you know, kind of burning the candle at both ends. And now I'm probably working 60 to 70 hours, so a little bit less, still working a lot. It is intense, and it's very surreal. It can be frustrating, the pace at which things change, and I suppose decision making happens in Leinster House between the Dáil and the Seanad. Mm-hmm. But I suppose being a councillor for so long gave me a perspective on the role, and knowing so many TDs, and many of the TDs are now ministers, I had those friendships and I had those relationships to have a real idea of what it was like. But I don't think anything would prepare you until you're in the job.
I think like that question obviously gets posed to you by a number of people, friends, family, constituents, people who are kind of close to you. They'd ask you, you know, was it what you expected? And you're kind of like, it's hard to estimate what to expect. I had previously worked for a TD for 9 months. I was previously a teacher before the general election, but during college I worked for Sean Sherlock for about 9 months as his secretary. So I kind of had an understanding of what political life was like, but I had no understanding of what the life of a TD was like. I was seeing it from the eyes of his secretary as opposed to the eyes of the actual TD themselves.
And so what is the difference?
There's a significant difference. Obviously, to secretary, front of house, you're meeting people daily. TD, you're based in Leinster House for 3 days a week and it's absolutely full on. You're two committees. I'm on the Public Accounts Committee, which like could be a job in itself, actually, to be honest with you. So the 3 days itself are so significant. Like last week then, I found myself coming home from Leinster House on Thursday evening around 8 o'clock, ready to go for the constituency office the next day. Two of my staff were off. One of them was sick. One of them was off. I then found myself for the whole evening as spokesperson, obviously, for a party on youth. I attended 6 events for youth night in and around the constituency. I came home again on Friday night, woke up Saturday morning. Saturday morning, I had to go down to a picture in the local castle in relation to water work that was done in the town, investment in the town. Sunday then, we had the turning on the Christmas lights in my local town. So like the job of the secretary is probably 8 to 5, you know, 8 to 4, whatever it may be. The job of a TD, like so significantly different.
And you're also commuting up and down from Cork to Leinster House.
Yeah, like I stay up here 2 nights of the week on a Tuesday and Wednesday night. But the commute, like I take the train, which is great. But like you often find yourself kind of slightly nodding off even like on the train.
Because but it's better nod off on the train than in the public accounts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And you, Nisha, have not only taken on this new role as a TD, you've also taken on the new responsibility of being a father. Mm. Owen's outlined the pace of work, and I don't think an awful lot of people actually see the amount of work that goes into being an elected representative. So you're combining that also with a new baby.
Mm. And you mentioned earlier on about friends being out in Coppers and travelling. I actually met my wife in Coppers, would you believe? But yeah, I'm in Maynooth, so it's only about 45 minutes in the evenings to get home.
Yeah.
Obviously, with traffic, if you're driving, it's a lot longer. I was able to get the train in today, so I'm fortunate from that perspective. But as Owen said, like the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are particularly intense. Last night, I didn't get home till 2:30.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't get to see my son at all yesterday. He's 9 months old now. I am so fortunate. I have an amazing wife and we work so well as a partnership and as a team. But it is difficult to try and get that family time in. And I do try and carve out time, particularly at the weekends, to spend time with Liam and with Ali. And as well, if possible, I'll try maybe a later start, maybe on a Monday or a Friday, so I can get him up or, you know, have breakfast with him, whatever it may be. So I'm fortunate to have that little bit of flexibility, but it is extremely intense. And, you know, I can only imagine how difficult it is for the likes of Holly Cairns, for example, being a young mum in the Dáil, particularly as a leader of a party. And I don't think that Leinster House works particularly well for young parents. And as there has been a generational shift, I do think we need to look at it. But the other side of that is, if you look at the likes of Owen and other people who are travelling long distances, it's essentially 5 days crammed into three on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because it is important that rural TDs have time back home as well. Mm. So I'm not sure how we square that circle, ensuring that we can create a family-friendly environment, but also ensure that those that live, you know, in Donegal, in West Cork, can actually have time back in the constituency and not just be in Dublin Monday to Friday.
Yeah, like I have that tower as well. I suppose I'm very lucky in the sense that I have no partner. I'm a single man. I have no kids. Nisha's story in particular, like, is obviously kind of slightly eye-opening. He's a young child. He has a wife. I'm kind of like thinking to myself, how would I ever cope? Like maybe that will come down the line eventually. But like Nisha has touched on the fact of being a rural TD. My constituency is a bit mixed in terms of I have a very large part of the city, but I also have a very large rural part of Cork. So it is extremely mixed. So like, as somebody said to me, Ari, you'll get no votes in Dublin. So like you have to spend time in your constituency. You know, people realise and want to see you walking the main street of Ballincollig or Mallow or the north side of Cork City. They want to see you on the street. They want to meet you, whether it's a funeral or whether it is being seen inside in your constituency office. Rural TDs really, for me anyway, have a very tough job in terms of how do you actually spend some of your time in Leinster House and how do you spend enough time in your constituency to still be seen by your constituents.
There's a perception, I think, out there. Certainly, we would hear it from News Talk listeners texting into our shows that the Dáil has become something of quite unproductive, in actual fact, in recent years, that it takes so long. Anisha, you alluded to the length of time maybe that it takes to make decisions, to enforce change. But we don't see a lot of big reform. Is that something that concerns you now, 12 months down the line, that you've seen it at first hand?
Yeah, and in fairness, legislation needs to be scrutinised, and that does take time between the different stages. And I won't get into kind of the technicalities of it, but between the Dáil and the Seanad, etc., and then committee stage. But particularly from an infrastructure point of view, it has been, from my perspective, look, coming from private industry where things move extremely fast, and you have to move fast because society is changing, but also your customers, your clients are expecting delivery a lot quicker. Seeing that in the public sector has been quite frustrating, and it's something that I've been bringing up in my own party and a lot of my colleagues have been bringing up. Now, Minister Jack Chambers only last night spoke to our parliamentary party and will be announcing reforms around infrastructure at the end of next week. So I'm really looking forward to hearing those and then seeing them in action, because I think not just as politicians, but all of us just want to see things get done.
Absolutely.
And do you find that page? Was it a bit of a shock to you?
It's a total shock in one sense, because you're kind of met with some slight barriers as well at county council level, and it's particularly normally in relation to budget.
No money.
Like, that's what they normally tell you. And like, it's in relation to the very simple things that you would believe are simple, like putting a speed ramp outside of a school. Like, you see that as a simple project, but trying to get it done is really hard. Like, it actually is really hard. But then you national level, and you have something like the National Children's Hospital, for example, you know, not completed on time, not completed on budget, and people are being frustrated then in terms of, am I disillusioned with politics because of the fact that I don't see the benefits of infrastructure being built? They probably are. I feel there's some sense of that out there. But like, in terms of local and national, I don't think there's any real difference in terms of the delays of projects. They're still the exact same. Probably the reasons behind the delays are probably different in terms of local and national. So I wasn't that surprised, but at the same time, like, I actually felt probably you actually had more of an influence on actually trying to get projects done on the county council.
I agree with you.
As opposed to actually being a Dáil Éireann, which kind of surprised a lot of people. But also what is kind of, and it's hard to get this message across to your constituents, until you're actually in the political atmosphere or in the political sphere, trying to actually get jobs done is very hard. And it's trying to explain that to constituents. Like, they're saying to you, why can't our road in our state be relayed? And you're kind of saying, Jesus, like, it's budget. It's not from the want to trying. Like, I am absolutely trying. Some people have no idea how hard it is. And that's appreciated because they're not in the political sphere. You know, they mightn't actually take any interest in politics. They just want to see their road relayed. That's fine. But at the same time, it's just so hard to get jobs done. You know, and I always kind of wonder to myself, you know, for the past year in particular, year and a half, is that the same in every European country or is it just Ireland?
As far as the public perception goes, I think it's fair to say they don't see a lot of the work that actually happens at Leinster House. They're not monitoring committees unless it's a high profile one like we have seen, and to be fair, in recent weeks and in recent years. What they do see is the slanging match that occurs across the floor during leaders' questions and Taoiseach's questions, and they see the sound bites that come out of that. How was that for you guys walking into the chamber and experiencing that, actually being in the room?
So just firstly on what we're actually doing in Leinster House, Owen's colleague George Lawler, he's a TD in Wexford, did a really good video on basically why the chamber might be half full when a deputy is speaking. And I'd encourage people to watch it. I was going to do one similar, but George
has done it.
It's really good. But going into, that was in January, the speaking rights row, I was absolutely shocked the level of anger, and
I think there's a level of theatrics, like
there is, right? And what frustrates me sometimes is I haven't been guilty of it yet, and I can say that honestly, is say in a committee or in the Dáil, the same question being asked by three different people, mm-hmm. right? But they want to get the clip of them asking that question.
Yeah.
Whereas it would actually be a lot better and a lot more impactful if they asked a follow-up question and said, gave recognition to Owen, for example, saying, you know, Deputy Kenny has raised X and, you know, leading on from that in your answer,
yeah.
you know, what is your solution to it, or what about this additional point? And I do think the political dialogue can be quite weak in that perspective, because a lot of it is targeted towards social media and those social media clips rather than actually constructive debate sometimes.
And showboating.
Well, I fundamentally believe like that there is theatrics in it. There absolutely is. I don't think, genuinely, I don't think I have been doing theatrics. I don't think that. Some people might believe I have, but I don't think I have. But there is theatrics, and in particular, you would have seen it around the speaking rights row. You had constructive politicians in relation to the difficulties that people saw in relation to Michael Lowry group and perhaps going into government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and trying to be in opposition at the same time, all that, and not to dwell on that. But there is definitely theatrics to it, and I think, and I'll say it straight out, lots of politicians have made careers off of theatrics and populism. And I absolutely fundamentally believe that. And I think that's why some people are disillusioned with politics. They see theatrics, they see populism, they don't see work being done.
And they see a lack of action or a perceived lack of action.
They'll see no work being done, and they'll say they're well able to speak about it inside the Dáil Chamber and get their clip for social media, but they actually never follow through and get the work done. I hope to God people don't perceive me as like that. I hope to God they don't. And I never want to be perceived in that way. But I think that actually happens. It's a fact. And people see through it.
I agree with you. But I'm hopeful. And maybe I'm a little bit green around the ears. But I do think the newer cohort.
Yeah, I agree.
I think
some.
Yeah, I think some of us have elevated the dialogue and the overall political conversation and even how we communicate. Even how Owen and I are communicating here.
Like, by saying that, Nisha, I mean both of us as well.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah.
Not, but I think it go back to that fundamental issue of like, are you going to get the job done, or are you just going to speak about it constantly and shout across the chamber? I absolutely believe, and I'll always believe in this, if you're an opposition TD, you have to work with government. If you don't work with government constructively, you're not going to get things done. Mm-hmm. And I remember Helen McEntee took over the position of Minister for Education, I think it was, and Michael Moynihan was Minister for Special Education. And I remember saying on the floor of the Dáil, the first time I spoke to them across the chamber, I will absolutely work with you in any projects, because at the centre of this are children, most importantly. But you see some politicians, they don't want to work with government. You know, and I don't understand that, because you won't get things done.
I want to bring it back to your age, guys, as well, because you are two of the younger TDs in Leinster House. Do you feel that sometimes maybe you're not taken seriously? Are some of the older cohort maybe looking at you, and even some of the staff around Leinster House looking at you going, sure, he's a young fella, what would he know?
I don't think so.
I
think we're all taken extremely seriously. And I do think it comes back to the point I made earlier. We're coming at it from a different perspective. And even if we look at the housing crisis, for example, it's our generation that are being impacted. It's our friends. So while, you know, the older cohort can talk about it theoretically and the impact that's having on their children, we're actually feeling it and we're actually seeing it. And we're coming at it as well from a very different perspective. And I definitely feel that respect from my colleagues across the house when I speak, and I'm sure it's the same for Owen as well.
Yeah, like I agree totally with Nisha. I think like there's a level of respect there constantly, no matter what your age is. But I do believe that the longer you're in politics, the more contacts you make, it's probably easier to navigate the political sphere and atmosphere, and it's perhaps easier to get jobs done. That will hopefully come with us in time as well, you know, as more experience we get, hopefully, and the more mandates we receive, hopefully. But I think the level of respect is there, both from staff, both from your colleagues.
I don't want to slag you, but there was a report, I don't know if you saw a study published earlier this week, which said that the human brain is essentially still in adolescent phase up until the age of 32 on average. So if a young politician can't necessarily bring wisdom or experience to the role, and I'm not saying that that's not the case in years, because everybody's lived experience, whether it's, you know, being a teacher, going through a school system, being a new parent, purchasing a home, whatever the case may be. What do you think that younger politicians that can bring that is uniquely different?
So I'm 36, so I think I'm past this stage. But I do think it's that, and it's not to take away from our older colleagues, but I think it's that different perspective. We're a new generation, but it's that different perspective. We're looking at things differently. We're very we're more in tune to what's happening globally. We're more in tune with what's happening in different industries. For myself, I think I'm one of the few that's come from the tech industry, you know, which has absolutely boomed in Ireland. And that experience has certainly helped me. And I get quite frustrated with the lack of efficiency just from the background I've come from. But I do think we are coming at it with a very solution-minded focus, more than I think I've seen previously.
Yeah, like I think at the doorstep, in particular during canvassing for the general election, very, very few people asked about your experience. Lots and lots of people recognised the need for a new generation of politicians.
Very interesting. Owen Murphy, the former housing minister, quit politics at a very young age. We did a News Talk Daily podcast very recently about how it's not a job for life anymore. Are you guys in it for the long haul?
I read his book and it was quite sobering, to be honest. I wouldn't recommend it to budding politicians, but it is a good book, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's very open and honest.
And he spoke about things as relatable as like how hard it was to date.
Yeah.
You know, while you were TD.
It's very hard to go away for a pint now without being accosted. But, and look, it's in a positive way. People are looking to speak to you, but also looking for help. I'm not dead set on staying in politics for the entirety of my career. I have no issue moving into another sector at some stages later on in my career, but I'm really enjoying the mandate that I have, and I would love to get another mandate in the next general election. And being honest, yes, of course, I would like to be a minister at some stage. I'd love to make huge changes to the country in whatever ministry I'd be so fortunate to get. So look, I definitely don't have the mindset that I'm going to be doing this until I'm retired, but I definitely will do it for a considerable amount of my career as long as the people of Kildare will support me.
Yeah, like I'd agree with Nisha. I want to run the next time. That's my fundamental belief. But like if I did 20 years in politics, I'd be 44, you know?
Wow.
So like if I did 20 years, I think there has to be a stage as well where politicians have to realise it's time to go, that they've done their bit and it's time to go. I read Owen Murphy's book and I read Leo Varadkar's book as well, two Fine Gael former TDs, and they both recognised the fact like that you have to know when to go.
Yeah.
Perhaps Owen Murphy, perhaps before his time, I don't know. But I think if I did 20 years, that would be good. But like fundamentally right now, all you have to realise is you have a mandate for 4 years or for 5 years. You go back to the public again and they'll recognise how much work you did or didn't do next time around. So you can't guarantee that I'll be here till I'm 44.
And last question to both of you. We all hear it in taxis or pubs or wherever we may be. Oh, bloody politicians, they're in it for themselves. You know, they do nothing. They only want the pension and the kudos. Your response to that as two younger people who have entered the fray?
I was doing better, we'll say, previously to being a TD. So it's definitely not for the money or the pension. The pensions actually for new TDs aren't as lucrative as people may think. And all I'd say is look at what your TDs or even your local councillors are doing on the ground. How active are they? Because I guarantee you, at least 80 to 90%, I can't speak for every TD or councillor, but the vast majority burst themselves day in, day out, and most of the work is unseen. Yeah. You won't see the phone calls that we get at all hours. You won't see the cups of tea. You won't see the tears. You won't see a lot of it. What you will see is what we put up on social media, and if you tune into Oireachtas TV or listen to this podcast. But I definitely think politicians in this country are good value for money. And that's a controversial thing to say. But I think politicians are good value for money and provide an essential service. I think it's a service we provide to the public as well as being legislators in the Dáil.
You can see, like, obviously, of course, where the taxi driver and stuff are coming from, because there's that kind of disillusionment with politics, with younger people and with older people now as well. There absolutely is. So you can see slightly where people are coming from when in turn they give out about politicians and stuff like that. But I agree totally with Nisha. The majority of the work is 100% done behind closed doors. And no matter what the issue is, people ring or text you about or email you about, that's their issue. So you have to treat it as the biggest issue on your desk. But I think loads of people realise that as well. You do just get a number of people across the country who constantly give out about politicians. That narrative is going to be there always. What I say to those people is, you know, get a life.
Well, what I tend to say to those people is you do it.
Yeah.
That tends to shut it down. Owen, Nisha, thank you so much for joining
us on
News Talk Daily. It's been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed it. That's it from the podcast for today and indeed for this week. If you missed anything from the week, you can catch up on your weekend walk via the Go Loud player or wherever you stream your content. Be sure to give us a like and a follow as well so you never miss an episode. I'll be back bright and early on Monday morning. Until then, good luck and enjoy your weekend.